Welcome to the Words of Grace podcast, where we seek to clarify, amplify, and apply the Sunday morning sermon at Grace Community Church. From time to time, we'll address other topics. We hope these podcasts help you press the Word of God into your everyday life.
Good afternoon. Today is the 18th of October, and we're here from the Words of Grace podcast.
Good afternoon, Justin.
Hello. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. It's a beautiful day outside.
And I've noticed something.
What?
You're not hiccuping right now.
I know.
For those that weren't there on Sunday, Scott had the hiccups all the way up to the sermon. I saw guys praying for you in the gathering hall, and then you explained in your sermon that you had these hiccups,
yeah,
and you were afraid that I'm going to be doing this the whole sermon.
It's the weirdest thing.
And you didn't have hiccups the whole
sermon. It's the weirdest thing. I don't know why. I did have a, you know, I told everybody back procedure that some people say, you know, it could have, you know, prompted this hiccup thing that started, you know, hours after, or at least the next
morning.
Did
you have hiccups the whole weekend?
All weekend.
Really?
All weekend. I was hiccuping all weekend. And I got up Sunday morning. Saturday night, I was trying to sleep and I was hiccuping. Woke up Sunday morning, hiccup. So I was like, oh no, Lord, I need to preach. And, you know, it'd be great if I didn't have to hiccup through it. And so I didn't through the sermon. And then when I stepped off the platform and I started hiccuping again, and it was weird.
But you're not right now.
They went away last night. We don't need to get into medical stuff here, but I did take a little muscle relaxer.
Good. Well, I'm glad you're not in hiccuping right now.
Yeah. So maybe we can get through this podcast.
Yeah, without hiccups. That'd be great. You were in John chapter 4 still. We've been in 4 for, this is fourth?
That was the fourth week.
Fourth week.
And we're going to finish it this week. So we do have one more week in John 4, but not in the, not about the Samaritan.
Samaritan
mission.
Yeah. So we've really been parked in Samaria for 4 weeks with Jesus, and especially with the woman at the well, mm-hmm. and just kind of what preceded that. And then this week was when Jesus, the famous part when Jesus says, look at the harvest.
Yeah.
And so if you want to, for us, give us a little bit of an overview of the sermon on Sunday, and then I have a couple of questions we can kind of lead from that.
Okay. Well, we'll go back and do the overview of the Samaritan mission, and then this mm-hmm. past Sunday. So Jesus enters Samaria, going from Judea up to Galilee, goes through Samaria. And we talked a lot about that, so we didn't get into the details there. But the big things that he pointed out were in the conversation with this woman and then with his disciples are, number one, he gives living water. Number two, he raises up true worshipers. Mm-hmm. And number three, he commissions his church to go, mm-hmm. his disciples to go into the fields that are white for harvest. So we were focusing this week on the fields that are white for harvest. And so what happens in the account is after Jesus speaks with the Samaritan woman, she goes back to the town to tell the people there that Jesus is the Messiah, the one who told her all that she ever did. Mm-hmm. The disciples have come back with the food. Mm-hmm. They're urging Jesus to eat the food. And he says, I have food to eat that you don't know about. My food is to mm-hmm. do the will of my Father and to accomplish his work. Then he looks at his disciples and he tells them about the fields that are white for harvest. And probably he's looking at the Samaritans who are coming out of the mm-hmm. city to him, and he says, look, mm-hmm. that's a field white for harvest. And then he says, labor, I'm sending you into the field to labor, to do the reaping that mm-hmm. others sowed. You're entering their labor. And then third, he says, when this happens, the sower and the gatherer or the harvester or the reaper, they rejoice together. So we just broke it down to three parts. Look at the field, labor in the field, and rejoice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. Again, great sermon and a great verses for us to think about as a congregation. So in light of talking about our congregation, how does this, we've been talking about this the last couple of weeks, but we wanted to really, it's a good question to ask when we're looking at the Gospel of John, but how does this, or how should this, or can it shape us as a church? Yeah. So how does this specific text, these mm-hmm. verses, help shape us as a healthy congregation?
Okay. I keep saying, and I do think, you have to be careful. I don't want to say this happens. This is an absolute statement, but generally speaking, the ministry of the apostles that Jesus gave to the apostles is being carried out by the church. Okay. I don't want to make an absolute statement out of that and get into the weeds and, you know, like we're not the apostles. Many of the apostles were writing the scripture. They were authorized to write the scripture. Yeah. We don't do that today. So it's not an absolute, but generally speaking, excuse me, when it comes to the Great Commission, when it comes to being a healthy church, you know, carrying out the will of God. The church is carrying on the ministry that was begun with the apostles as Jesus commissioned mm-hmm. them, and then the church grew from them, and now we're doing that. So that what we're seeing then here in John 4 is the commission of Jesus sending his apostles into the harvest field. It continues with us, yep. with the church that is built on the prophets and the apostles, the mm-hmm. gospel. So that's how that's the first thing we need to understand is we take what Jesus is saying here and we can use it, we can see it as his instructions to us, mm-hmm. the church that has grown out of his and their ministry. And so the first way, obviously, from Sunday's text, the church needs to look. We need to see.
Mm, that's good.
We need to have vision. And I think that's particularly important now, yeah. Justin. It's always important, but everybody's got to ask what's going on in their day. Yeah. And I just, you know, I just think that we're looking at the world in a skewed way.
Yeah.
I think we're forgetting that we came from that, you know, we haven't always been in the kingdom of God.
Yeah. We were outside the kingdom.
We've been harvested yeah. from the world and brought into the kingdom.
Yeah.
We need to always remember that. And two, I think just the nature of the last, you know, couple of years, in our culture, it's very easy for Christians to look at other people as their enemies.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, we talked about how when Jesus said that to his disciples, lift up your eyes, look and see, the fields are white for harvest. He was likely looking at a group of Samaritans coming out of the city to him.
Who at one point, or maybe even then still struggling with, that was their enemy.
That's right. Yeah. The disciples are looking, saying, wait, what's the deal?
We need to go back to Jerusalem.
We're on up into Galilee.
Yeah,
let's get out of here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so Jesus says, look, do you see that? I don't want you to see that as your enemy.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want you to see that as the off limits.
Yeah.
I don't want you to see that as the place where nobody will ever come to God from that group.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want you to see that as a harvest field.
Yeah.
And so I think it's very important for us to remember that Jesus wants us to see something different. First of all, we got to be careful we're not excluding ourselves from the world in the sense that we were never there.
Right.
We have been saved by grace.
Yeah, yeah.
And then once we come to faith in Christ and once we see the truth of God's word, and once we understand the nature mm-hmm. of the kingdom, we can't forget that God is still doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So we've come out of that. And then secondly, we just got to view people as ready for harvest. God's calling people out of the world to himself.
Yeah, I feel like, Scott, when you talk about looking with that perspective, it takes a lot of focus and a lot of reminding ourselves of what is the main purpose.
Mm-hmm.
What are we really after in the harvest? Because I think if I have a different perspective, I may not look at humanity that way.
Yeah.
Right? I may not look at them as, oh, they're ready to be harvested.
Yeah.
I may push them away whatever the case may be.
Push them away or focus on how they're wrong.
Yeah.
You know, focus on their bad ideas.
Yeah. So good. So it helps us with our look. So this helps look, how we look. What else?
Labor. That was the second thing.
Yep.
Jesus said, you know, go enter the labor.
Yeah.
You know, now he put it in this way. He said, there are those who sowed the seed. He said, I'm sending you to reap. You're mm-hmm. going to reap for that which you did not labor. But then he said, mm-hmm. you're entering their labor.
Mm-hmm.
So reaping is a form of laboring too. And he says, I'm sending you out into this harvest field. We're going into the harvest field. Again, let's go right into Jesus' context. He sees Samaritans coming to him and he says, there's the fields white for harvest. Then he says, we're going to go gather some. So they go back into a Samaritan mm-hmm. city, Sychar. They go right back in and they're laboring right there among those people.
Yeah.
So labor.
Yeah.
Preach, teach, conversation, you know, involved in people's lives, answering their questions about the faith, showing them who Jesus is, and watching God draw them into the kingdom. That's mm-hmm. reaping. That's a form of laboring. The church needs to do that.
Yeah.
One of the things I was trying to point out on Sunday is in our day, one of the important things for our day is that harvesting, you know, gathering is not just winning people to a certain perspective on something. Mm-hmm. It's winning them to Christ.
Yeah, yeah.
It's leading them to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And I think so many Christians today, feel like their job is to persuade people to a particular point of view that's being argued about in the broader culture.
Right. Yeah.
Is there a place for that? Well, of course there is, you know, because you want cultures to think rightly. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, so without downplaying the need for good arguments, for good ideas in the world, the basic truth, though, is that people can have good ideas and still not know Christ.
Yeah, yeah.
The church is specifically commissioned to put before people the claims of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So that they will come to faith in him. The fruit is for eternal life.
Yeah.
That's what he said, gathering fruit for eternal life.
And I get it, Scott, and I think there's that tension, right, of our belief in Jesus kind of affecting our life out in the world, and there's that tension. But I think, and I get into this problem too at times, I think I got to convince them of this issue over here that may have some link to my biblical worldview.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, okay, I need to get him to Jesus,
yeah,
and let Jesus wrestle with that. Like, let's just trust the Lord in that. And I think sometimes I want to get him to hear before I even get him to Jesus.
That's right.
But let's just get him to Jesus and let Jesus work on that.
And let's be honest, a lot of churches are never getting them to Jesus. Hmm. They're just getting them to a particular understanding of the culture, or of politics, or of of something, you know, that never gets them to the claims of Jesus Christ to be the Son of God, who gives eternal life, without which no one would come to know God.
Right. It's all about being reconciled to the Father.
Yeah.
Good. So looking, laboring,
and then rejoicing.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, he said, you will, when you enter this labor and you enter this, you gather this harvest, the sower and the reaper will rejoice together.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you know, Jesus, that must have been for he and his disciples, although it was a learning experience for his disciples, who had to understand they had to get over some of they had to get over their prejudices toward Samaritans. Think about the rejoicing that went down those 2 days. Mm-hmm. When many people come to faith in Christ, they start believing in him.
Yeah.
And so they had joy there. And you bring that into our day. And I mean, let's be honest, you look around, you know, even in some senses, our own congregation, there is at times a lack of joy.
Yeah.
And, you know, nothing makes me more joyless than when I am self-focused, self-preoccupied.
Yeah.
Self-conscious, insecure, fretting, worrying. And Jesus is saying, here's your joy.
Mm-hmm.
Look and labor. See the harvest. Watch what God does. There's the joy.
Yeah.
And so, you know, how does that shape our church? Well, we're going to see joy. There's joy when sinners repent. There's joy when people are brought into the kingdom.
Yeah.
There's joy when we rest in grace.
Yeah.
When we are just so focused and so conscious of the lavished grace of God in our own lives to rescue us from the domain of darkness and bring us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, the kingdom of light, there's joy.
Yeah.
And then when we see other God doing that in other people's lives among us, there's joy.
Yeah.
You know, that's where joy comes from.
Yep.
Deep joy.
Yeah.
So that's what, you know, so as we kind of wrap up this little section of the podcast for a few weeks on how does this shape our church, what I'm hoping, calling our church to, people listening to this, or people who don't go to our church who are listening to this, to pray for their own congregations, that God would restore our joy as we are obeying him, doing his will, looking at the world as a harvest field, longing for the harvest to come in, entering it, speaking, acting in such ways that people are brought to Christ.
Yeah. 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 It was, you know, Sunday we have adult studies and the building is funny how some of the things that we were talking about in our adult study was linking to what you were talking about. We talked about Paul in Athens.
Mm-hmm.
It was just intriguing because it says at the very beginning, he is looking at this city, seeing idolatry.
Mm-hmm.
I can only imagine the immorality that was wrapped around all of the temple worship.
Mm-hmm.
But he's seeing in it, said he was provoked. But then it says what he does because he's provoked is that he heads out and he starts laboring.
Mm-hmm.
He goes in the synagogues, he goes out into the marketplace, and he's preaching Jesus and the resurrection.
Wow. There it is.
So it's interesting because it hit me. I saw Paul and I asked myself a question as I was reading it kind of in a devotion. It was since saying, when I'm provoked at what I see in our world, what is my response to whatever is provoking me? Mm-hmm. And like what we just said earlier, sometimes if we're not careful, we can say, I just want to give them to this perspective. But Paul understood they need to repent and believe in Jesus. Mm-hmm. So he got busy. He got to work and he labored. Mm-hmm. And it ended up being at the very end, he had people starting to going, I want to believe. Let's talk.
Yeah.
And there was rejoicing and a church was formed. And so I think that's what we're after. Right. Let's get in and let's labor. Let's share the gospel. Let's help people that are new in their faith grow in their faith. Because our goal is we want to be more and more like Jesus.
That's right. That's right. And we want to be a healthy congregation.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, good. Well, Scott, it's been great, the 4 weeks that we've spent so far. I know we're moving on from Samaria.
Yeah, we're going to Galilee on Sunday.
Going to Galilee. But excited to be there. Scott, thank you again. I know every week standing in the pulpit preaching the book of John is a joy.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of weight that comes with that. Mm-hmm. And it's been fun. And we're still early on in John, but excited for the months ahead.
Yeah, good.
Thanks.